views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is September the 12th, 2018. We have a live show for you today, and we're going to get into that show. But before we do, everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network by giving some of your financial donations so that we can remain on air. Okay, got you, Scotty. Take care. No problem. So, everyone, please continue to support the Black Talk Radio Network by giving some of your financial energy in way of a donation. You can do that by going to the website for this network, and that is www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Give a monetary donation so that this network can stay on air. You can also support the network by being a part of this social media platform known as BTR Community. For only $24 a year, you can become a member inside of this social media platform where you can engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected. Also, you can use the overall platform in a more beneficial way than you would otherwise be able to use it in FedBook. Okay? So please support the network. Give a donation. Become a member inside of BTR Community. And you can find that at www.btrcommunity. $24 a year gets you your membership. It's the only place that I post information myself. So let's get into today's show as quickly as possible. But before we do that, let me hit a couple of more things. If you'd like to exchange your cash, your slave wage, into real monetary savings, you can do that through Prosperity Mint. Just go to Prosperity Mint at www.prosperitymint.com, where you can exchange your slave wage, known as the cash that you were paid, and exchange it for monetary savings, real monetary savings and real money. Do that. It is to your best interest. Also, if you are in the Dallas area or would like to attend the Legacy Wealth Management Family Structuring Seminar, where you will learn how to properly structure your family economically to gain all of the benefits. You ever wonder why Donald Trump didn't pay taxes, doesn't have to release his taxes? Well, there's a structural, proper way in order for you to do that. How the Clinton family and foundation is able to do certain things that you won't be able to do? Well, it's not that you're not able to do it. It's just that you may not know how to structurally do that correctly, and especially in a more benevolent way. Come to the seminar. I will be there. We'll be presenting as well. Very, very important that you do some things I don't talk about here on air that I disclose at our seminars. If you'd like to be a part of that, then just simply reach out to me at wolf6pack1@gmail.com, wolf6pack1@gmail.com. Every person that goes and hears the information, applies it, raves about it. So they are now in the know. we want you to know. Okay, so what we're going to do now, we're going to jump into today's show. And today's show is going to be, ooh, man, we got to definitely do this. It's very, very significant. I'm going to do my best that I possibly do can get to get people to leave the overall region of the state of the country that is going to be in the path of this storm. It's probably one going to be probably go down in the records as being one of the most powerful storms possibly ever. And I want to, and I'm not going to diminish or pull back from that, because I want people to take that serious, especially those that are in the path of it. But it's not just those individuals that are going to be adversely affected. I would say if you are on the western, if you are on the eastern seaboard, you probably want to prepare, even if you're not in the direct affected area of this storm. And I'll tell you why in today's show. So today's show is going to be part three, reasons to prepare. I'm going to have to change this. And it's not going to be the cyberspace makes all countries equally nuclear. We're going to just have to update Hurricane Florence in today's show. And that's going to be today's show because of the significance of what's happening in that space. So, wow. Man, oh man. So we're going to jump into what's in the news. And if you would like to get in on the conversation at any time, give us a call. Keith, I know you're not feeling well, but definitely would love for you to at least call in and with your cold and everything else. Just bear through and struggle, because it's very, very important that we do that. We're going to drop some information for you all. And what you could do, Keith, is just and when you called in, it tells you how to unmute yourself. And you won't have to worry about the background noise, because we're not in studio together. So definitely call in. I definitely want you all that can call in today, call in, especially if you're in the affected area right now, to give us an update as to where things is going, what's going on, some things, because this is something that we should be learning from. And I will give some of my commentary and would love for your input in the show today. All right, so here we go. We're going to jump into to what's in the news. First article I posted, we'll come back to this, very significant, from Sputnik News. Mexican president-elect invites Putin to inauguration slated for December 1st. Why? Because as I said, as soon as MLO was elected, I knew that Mexico would probably become a part of the BRIC nations. They said that he's actually said that the new president-elect of Mexico has stated that he wants to get Mexico in part of the BRICS. And this is the path of the storm that's probably going to be greater. Well, I don't want to reference that, because this is going to be another great storm. And this one is a different dynamics of this these wave of events that will be happening, that is going to change every single person's life that happens to live within the corporation of the United States of America and its member states, and all of its member states, and all of those that are tied to its member states. So check out that article. Next article, this one comes from Consortium News. Moscow has upped the ante in Syria, as Syrian forces backed by Russians launched the final showdown in Syria against jihadist extremes in Idlib province. The potential for the U.S.-Russian confrontation has never been greater. And I do anticipate that that is going to turn into a start of a shooting war that goes forward. Next article I got from Nothing But Criminal News, commonly referred to as NBC News. Russia is the main suspect in the mystery attack on U.S. diplomats in Cuba. Intelligence agency investigating mysterious attacks that led to brain injuries to U.S. personnel in Cuba and China consider Russia to be the main suspect. Three U.S. officials and two others brief the investigators tell and nothing but criminal news. Check out that article. Next article, this one comes from Criminals, Nothing But Criminals, CNBC, commonly referred to. Trump told Gary Cohen to print money to lower the national debt, according to Bob Woodward's book. Oh my. Oh my goodness. As a candidate, Donald Trump pledged to balance the federal budget and lower the national debt, promises that have been proven difficult to keep once in office. Trump's considered the policy of just printing money as an ideal, as a quick slap down, and was quickly slapped down by his chief economic advisor, according to journalist Bob Woodward's new book. And I can't be mad at celebrity figurehead Donald Trump for making that type of a statement, because many of us live by that type of statement. Trump told Cohen to print money to lower the national debt. One, he could have been right, but the thing is, you can't print money. What you could do, well, let me see if that's true. No, that's not true, Dave, because you actually can print money. Well, no, let me think. No, you can't print it. Printing money is impossible. I went back and forth. Here's what could have been done. They could have leafed gold and silver money. They would have had to leaf it. They wouldn't have been able to print it. They would have been able to leaf it. They would have been able to take gold and string it out into a long, and gold is probably one of the best ones to do that. They could have actually leafed gold and put their insignia of the currency, which would have been leafing real money. Could have done that, but you can't print money. But I'm not. It's amazing how celebrity figurehead Donald Trump could say that, coming from what supposedly is his background in business. You can't print money to lower debt. Every time you print money, you're creating debt. Excuse me. Every time you print currency, because you can't print money. Every time you, and they mean printing currency, which is the terminology is wrong completely, and that's purposely done. Most people think that, well, why don't they just print more cash? That's such a basic flaw. And it's at all institutional levels, because that mentality is what keeps the system from losing control of your life and other people's lives. Very, very important. You can't print cash to get out of debt. The printing of cash is the printing of debt, and it's the worst form of debt. So we'll get into that a little bit later. Next one, this comes from Criminals Broadcast Station, commonly referred to as CBS. This is a YouTube video. I'm going to probably play a couple of YouTube videos from real quick ones, because of what's going on. Need to do that next. And it's been there's a NOAA Hurricane Florence path with winds that you need to know about and check out and constantly check this. And then there's another YouTube video. Then we have a from South China Morning Post: China elite troops head to Russia for the biggest war game in decades. Check out that article. Then we have another YouTube video from USA Today. And what would I call them? That would be let me see. United Subjugation Association. That's what USA Today. United Subjugation Association. So check out that article. Next article I got from Sputnik News, France warns allies. France warns allies. Russia against committing war crimes in Idlib. Check out that article as well. We won't be covering that. We'll cover that later. This is the, what's going on here is much more important and immediate. The priority should be here, but we should be watching what's going on. I wouldn't be surprised if multiple things happen at one time. Everyone is watching to the right, and they get hit with a left hook. So check out that article. Next article I got from Yahoo. Incredible images of Hurricane Florence captured from the International Space Center. Oh, my space station. Oh, my goodness. They just put out some new pictures, and when you see those new pictures, it is shocking. It is actually shocking. Check out that. I put it in a Twitter from the National Hurricane. Everyone should be monitoring this. Let me read this real quickly, and it's going to be a part of today's show. This comes from from the Twitter account of the National Hurricane Center. Wave height to be, wave height to 83 feet were measured early this morning, that was today, under the northeast quadrant of Hurricane Florence. So the northeast quadrant of Hurricane Florence would be everything pointing towards North Carolina, north and east of there. That northeast quadrant. Now that eye can turn, the storm can turn. They say it's turning, is going to more towards Georgia now as well. So, but did you hear that? Wave heights to 83 feet were measured earlier this morning under the northeast quadrant of Hurricane Florence. These enormous waves are produced by being trapped along with very strong winds moving in the same direction as the storm. The wind is moving in the same direction as the storm. So what is it doing? It's pushing up the overall, the wave swells are up to 83 feet. I don't know if we can really conceptually think about how tall a 83 feet would be. And I want to put this into perspective really quickly. So let me do this. Let me find an 83-foot building. And I just saw this, so I wasn't able to do this. I want you to think about this. How tall? Oh, let me see. Let me put this up. How many stories would an 83 foot building be? Oops. One second, you all. So I want you. How many stories would a 83-foot building be? Let's see. Convert feet to stories. There we go. There's a conversion of feet to stories. And I think this is very, very important. Forgive me, y'all. I wanted to do this before the show, but I just saw this that came out. And I want to do a conversion to what that looks like. Oh, my goodness. And that's what I thought it was going to be, about eight stories. So think of a 7.6 story building. Think of a building that's seven stories high. That is the size of the waves that they're talking about that have been measured in this storm. Wow. So almost an 8-story building is what they're looking at. And this is, oh my goodness, that is huge, absolutely huge. So that is what I posted there, and it gave a pair of satellite images as well to show the storm and where it's going. So follow this, very, very important. We will be focusing that on today's show. So that is, ooh, we posted a lot. Whoa, I think I made a mistake, y'all. Let me see. All right, there we go. But I posted the National Hurricane Twitter account with the information that they'll be giving. Definitely check that out. So that's what's in the news. If you'd like to get in on today's conversation, then give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. What I want to do really quickly is I'm going to set up. Scotty is not here. So what I want to do is I'm going to play these two. Let me set up these two YouTube videos, because I want you to hear just some of the things and then update you on what's happening and why this is so important that you get out of harm's way of this storm. And so let me just pull up the YouTube video. I have it right here. One second. Let me just get this all keyed up. And I would say this. I was actually listening to a couple of stories on the mainstream propaganda, and they were talking to individuals that said that they weren't going to leave. And I understand that that individual has that choice, definitely does. Is it a wise choice? In my opinion, absolutely not. And I'm going to start by saying this. Because of the dynamics of this storm, and I'm going to give my personal experience. When I was in the military, I was stationed in Alaska. And you can imagine the overall winds of Alaska. And I was out in the Bering Strait a couple of times. And then being in the Barrier Straits, if you've ever seen Deadliest Catch on that TV show or Bering Strait, you know the overall winds that are there. And I've been in winds, gale force warnings, of winds exceeding 140 miles per hour. And if your buildings and if your home and your infrastructure isn't built to withstand that type of wind, just that type of wind, the houses that they build today, they call them stick homes because that's all they are. They're sticks. They're not even, you can't even classify that with the density of it being really wood. They call them wood stick homes. And that's all they are. They're sticks. They're so fragile. If you haven't had your home built to withstand 140 mile per hour wind, if you have a stick home, and I've been in this type of wind, the wind blows so hard that you can't walk in it, and then it would bend you. You can basically bend all the way over and the wind would hold you up. And these winds are, I tell you, they are destructive. If you're the homes that are in North Carolina, probably 99.9% of them are not built to withstand the winds of 140 miles per hour. Here's the problem. The recent reading, one of the recent readings from the Hurricane Hunter that goes inside of the hurricane and tracks the overall eye wall and everything else and gets the measurements, the pressure, the wind speeds. Some of the latest wind speeds as of an hour and a half ago was that the winds were sustaining. Let me make sure. Let me get this right. Uh-oh. One second. The winds were the winds were gust, were had a gust or may even be sustaining. I'm trying to find that out now. At over 155 miles per hour. 155 miles per hour over. The measured winds of 155 miles per hour or more. And this was done by the hurricane hunter that flies into the hurricane and takes the different measurements. I don't think I've ever seen that type of wind speed in a hurricane before. 155, over 155 miles per hour. You're talking about just wind speeds of just short of what a Formula One race car can do on a straightaway. There is no structure that was built in the path of this storm likely to be able to withstand a sustainment of that, unless they were actually built to withstand. And these type of, you would need winds, you need a structure that was built for nuclear war. I would hope that everyone takes this serious and would get out of harm's way of this thing. I know that there were some individuals that didn't want to leave. I get it. And one person said that since they've endured storms before, that they didn't see the necessity to leave. They'll just ride this out. I get it. I understand. But the bad thing about that is that you could be so wrong on this. Just because you've endured storms before, you didn't endure this storm that possibly could produce. And I'm just saying this because I want the person to leave. I would want the person to leave. And the one person said, I can't see it being that bad. Well, this is a clear case of what you don't see is more real than what you do see. You can't see Hurricane Florence right now. And you can't see that within its overall capabilities in its building that is producing 88-story building high waves and winds that exceed 155 miles per hour. See, when I was in Alaska, the thing about it was it just had to be built for the wind. It had to be built for the weather as well, but not in a hurricane that brings wind, that brings rain, that brings wave or water surge, storm surge. Even if the building was built to withstand 155 mile per hour winds, was it built to withstand a storm surge of a wall of water, of seawater, a wave? It is basically a wave of water that's 8 stories high. I'm going to tell you no. Just because you don't see something doesn't make it real. And just because you don't see it doesn't mean the overall conditions of it and the capabilities of it, because it's going to escape you because you're blind to it. I would say any person that is in the path of this storm, if you're within the first 5 miles of this storm, please leave. That's the best option. It's really maybe coming at these measurements that they're having right now. It's the only choice that you have to survive. Because the odds of you surviving this, in this path, one, you will not survive an 83-foot wave. You will not survive it. You will not survive a 40-foot wave. You won't survive a one-story wave. Because it's going to come in different wave sizes. So you may escape wave one, but you likelihood of you being able to have to sustain yourself in that is not just going to be a one punch. This is going to be a complete bombardment for hours upon hours. And great creator, and God forbid that it stalls and just continues to whip and whip and whip and whip and stay in place. I want to know Scotty's not here. Let me just, there's two videos I want to play. They're 2 minutes each. I want you to hear this. Let me just set this up. And we're going to get back to this because this is what we need to, it's critical.
Hey, so, Dave.
Yes, Scotty.
Yeah, go ahead and post them in our uberconference.com.
I posted one and then I'm gonna post the second one real quick, and if you would, Scotty, they're 2 minutes long. Okay. But if you would just play these two and then we're gonna get back into the show, and you can play them back to back if you would like. They're 2 minutes long. This is too important, and our people have to get out of the way of this thing.
I agree with that. I'm because just waiting on these ads to become skippable.
To play through. Yeah, go ahead,
okay.
Scotty.
All right, I got you.
This actually storm, and I looked at this, looking at it from the space station, looking at the eye of it, how defined the eye is, how deep it is, and how huge this storm is.
Yeah, it's pretty big. 32 miles.
Oh my.
I heard a report was the diameter. So it's nothing to play with. Now, it's going to lose some of its wind power, although I was listening to a radio report this morning when I was going to pick up my niece, who is an airline stewardess. I'm like, she come right on time for the hurricane. You know what I'm saying? But
right,
of course, no other place she'd rather be, because mm-hmm. just with her family and her daughter. I heard a report this morning saying winds up to 80 miles an hour. So, you know, when you live, it just depends on where you live. Charlotte,
some spots
in Charlotte do have to worry about flooding. It was like you were saying, if it just hover for, let's say, 6 hours, but it's dumping heavy rain, you know what I'm saying? That saturates the ground. And trees fall, you know, they will fall. So, I do agree, though, but the coast, I could see a mandatory evacuation. When you're talking about 100-plus-mile-hour winds, you're talking about, you know, projectiles.
Huge. And it was, Scotty, the last reading from the Hurricane Hunter that went into it was reading winds at over 155 miles. Like, Scott, hopefully this thing loses some of that strength. But if it maintains that strength, but a Category 5, I'm going to tell you, this even at 130 miles per hour, and it's a Cat 5, and it stays, is the overall bombardment, because this is multiple things. You got ground erosion, you have water saturation, you have water actually knocking down everything. You have winds that's knocking down everything. You got projectiles. I'm gonna tell you, and for the outskirts, the people that's gonna get hit with projectiles and things of that nature, that, you know, that's gonna be on the outskirts of it all, because the people, the anybody that's in this path, the projectile, if the projectiles don't get you, then the overall wind will get you, and if the wind don't get you, the storm surge will get you. So everyone that's in the immediate path of within the first 3 miles of the coastline, you can't stay. And my thing is, for those, and there was an individual that was 1 mile from where it's expected to land, and they're 1 mile from the actual ocean. 1 mile from the ocean, you're not going to be able to. That's not going to be there anymore.
No.
What a wave of 83, eight-story wave that they're producing, not one wave. It didn't say how many waves.
Right.
You can't. There is no structure that can withstand that. An eight-story wave will bring down a very, very large building. Because the weight and the strength of the water is no joke. No joke. And if the building is, you know, seven stories, it's going to go over a seven-story building.
Oh, are they projecting a tsunami-like conditions? Because that happened to a couple of them Asian countries, man, not that long ago. Philippines. It was triggered by an earthquake, though. But so I don't think, you know, it's going to be as powerful as something as that. But the main thing is it's supposed to lose. It's going to lose strength, they're projecting. It's going to lose strength the more inland it get. But where does it stop inland, and how much water is it going to dump on that area? So the winds, it's going to lose you know, some of that miles per hour windage. You're going to lose some, but still 80, that's still enough to even, knock you out with something, kill you.
Yep.
If you get hit with
it,
so hopefully, nobody's out there.
Nothing to do with that.
Hopefully nobody's out there with a cell phone trying to get pictures to post to social media,
In today's world, Scotty, you know that there's going to be one person that's going to try that, and you'll never know who they are, because if they're in the path of this thing, they won't be there for long.
Yeah, cell phone will be left, the footage that they got right before they got killed. You know, I guess their relatives could post it, but I doubt it. But, yeah. All right, I'm ready. I got these videos queued up for you.
Okay, we're gonna listen to this, and then we'll come back to the show. Go ahead, Scotty.
Is Hurricane Florence. Forecasters watching the hurricane are warning it could cause terrible damage and loss of life over a huge area of the U.S. The National Weather Service describes it as, quote, the storm of a lifetime. Top sustained winds this morning are 130 miles an hour. It is expected to strengthen before it hits the Carolinas in about 48 hours. As many as 25 million people are in Florence's projected path.
We don't know where this massive storm will go after it hits the coast. The worst possibility is it could stall. Meteorologist Megan Glaros of our Chicago station WBBM-TV is here with the newest changes to Florence's track. Megan, good morning.
Good morning, John. And there have been some changes, and probably not for the better. What we're looking at right now is still a Category 4 storm. This is a force of nature. Winds to 130, as you said, moving west-northwest at 17. What's happening is it's rolling over warmer waters in the Atlantic right now. That's serving to really strengthen it. Landfall looks still to be sometime early Friday. But the question is, where? And does it stay off the coastline for longer? That would actually be a worse scenario as we move forward here, because if it rides off the coastline, that means you're getting the storm surge continuing, the winds continuing, the rain for a longer time period. It continues to ride down that coast. And obviously, then you're also talking about a bigger area that it could be impacting most strongly. Now, we've got a ridge of high pressure on off near Bermuda, another up across parts of the United States. The problem is they're kind of combining. And so it's not giving the storm anywhere to go. It's trapped, essentially, and that's going to push it south a little bit. That's why we've seen those changes to the model guidance and the changes to the track. What we're looking at here, though, is always on the right side of circulation, specifically the right front quadrant. That's where we have the greatest concern for storm surge, for winds, and for tornadoes within the landfalling hurricane. We're also talking about a major rainfall event, upwards of 30 inches possible, and that area as well has expanded. So certainly something that bears watching over these next few days, Gail.
Boy, none of it looks or sounds good. Thank you very much, Megan. Zones are moving away from the coast. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, reversed several highway lanes yesterday so all the traffic can move inland. David Begnaud is in Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina, which is getting ready for a possible direct hit. David, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gail. A mandatory evacuation goes into effect here on Wrightsville Beach at 8 a.m. And, Gail, what's different about North Carolina is that if you don't follow a mandatory evacuation order here, you can be cited with a misdemeanor crime. Listen, I just got off the phone with the National Hurricane Center, and they sound subtly ominous in tone when they give this information. Right here in Wrightsville Beach, where I'm standing right now, the storm surge could be between 9 and 13 feet. That is higher than some homes. The rainfall, I'm told, could be between 20 and 40 inches. It is staggering when you think of it. On the beach where we are right now, all of these homes will be under immediate mandatory evacuation. And it is these barrier islands of North Carolina that will be the first to bear the brunt of Hurricane Florence. The weather is quiet. It is beautiful. For the most part, it appears as though most people are starting to leave. It's eerily empty around here, but people are being warned, if you haven't left, now is the time to get out.
It is an extremely dangerous, life-threatening, historic hurricane.
North Carolina's Governor Roy Cooper issued a grim warning yesterday as mandatory evacuations went into effect.
Hurricane Florence will affect each and every one of you.
I haven't been through one this strong, so, you know, safety first.
People living in Wrightsville Beach are bracing for a direct impact.
They got a long trip.
For Philip Payne, it meant packing up his truck and driving to Charlotte with his fiance and two dogs.
It's definitely been a learning experience, but we're definitely going to get out of here better safe than sorry.
As Florence closes in, stores in the Carolinas and Virginia have already run out of fuel, groceries, and generators.
Yeah, line up by your number.
In Raleigh, North Carolina, people waited for hours for store managers to restock the shelves.
Got here 6 o'clock this morning. It's 10:30 now. I'm still waiting.
Yesterday, we drove through Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where it appeared most people had obeyed warnings to get out.
The Highway Patrol told us if people stay in their homes and they don't heed the evacuation and leave, the cops are not going to pull them out of their house. But they may not be able to come and help you if you need rescuing when the storm makes landfall.
You're not worried about staying behind?
No, sir.
But there are always those people like Mike White and his 8 neighbors who have stocked up on essentials and plan to ride out Florence.
Okay, wish us well.
We are wishing you and your neighbors well, Mike. Look, I just got off the phone with our meteorologist at our Charleston affiliate in South Carolina, and John Bill Walsh, that's the name of the meteorologist, told me, he said, David, our threat level has risen significantly as the storm has started to jog a little further to the south. We are more worried now than we were 24 hours ago. Please, everybody, get ready. People, the tone that meteorologists are using is very, very serious.
Wow. Yeah, thank you, David. The worry keeps rising.
Okay, so that's the reports from this morning. Let me unmute Keith. Keith, I've unmuted you, so if you could just mute your background noise if you have any, and then whenever you wanted to chime in, you could just unmute yourself on your phone and then jump in. So that's the YouTube videos that I wanted you to all hear. And, you know, Scotty put into the chat room, it looks like it could affect up to 8 states or more. And I will have a comment about that. I think it's probably, if it does reach its full potential or somewhere close to its potential or even 3/4 of its potential, it's going to impact a whole lot. And I'll talk about that in a second. Then Scotty said, they have chosen to leave prisoners and some guards in prisons. Wow. But they've evacuated animal shelters. He said, but I bet they've evacuated animal shelters. You know, there's a responsibility once you take someone in custody, and you should be moving those individuals. All individuals should be moved out of harm's way, because you know that is there, and you know that you are in a hurricane zone, so you should have a strategical plan, a strategical operation for an action plan for that. No reason why those individuals should be in, they should not be put in harm's way. It's irresponsible. It's almost as if when you take that type of approach to people, you become worse than what you so-called convicted these individuals for, because you are committing murder. This is manslaughter. This is manslaughter. You have to move people that you know are in harm's way. Not cool at all. Go ahead, Keith.
It's kind of interesting that you should say that. Excuse my voice. But one of the things that they were talking about was under the cloak of secrecy, right before this season, the hurricane season started, and talked about what Donald Trump, the president, what he did was he actually removed $10 million from FEMA for hurricane recovery, rescue, et cetera, et cetera. He actually removed $10 million out of that fund to put into ICE so that they could build more basically concentration camps. So it's kind of interesting that you should say what you say, because they have a goal to eliminate or produce more prisoners, those sort of things, than they are worried about helping people in this hurricane.
Oh, Dave, are you there? Seems like we have an audio issue.
Oh, sorry about that. Scotty, you couldn't hear me?
No, I can hear you. I can hear you now.
I muted myself when Keith was there. And I wanted to say thanks, Keith. I didn't know that. And this is disturbing in all ways, because they made September... Celebrity figurehead dump, Trump, made September National Preparedness Month along with FEMA. And it's not just the storm or the hurricane season, the reason for that is there's the other events that are going to be much more impactful than just this event possibly will be that's on the horizon. See, they purposely took the overall funding from hurricanes, knowing that they needed a higher priority for the next storm that was going to be coming. So they needed to build as many internment concentration detention centers that they possibly can, because they're planning on using them.
They're already using them, Dave. They plan on just expanding
the NDA facility.
Yeah, they just expanding the prison slave population. You know, that's all that
is.
Yeah, it's the immigration mostly that they, because I saw the report where money for FEMA, which is for hurricane relief, and actually FEMA did help Max. Max, man, Max is in Charleston. Well, he's not in Charleston, but he's maybe 100 miles from the coast. I'm not sure. But then I don't want to give out his exact location anyway. But anyway, FEMA, he had to move, man, because one of his places got flooded out, man. FEMA helped them find another house, and then they got hit again. So now here come another hurricane. We were just talking about that, but FEMA did help them. But that money, what I read, now $10 million don't seem a lot of money to me when I compare that
to... No, it's not. It's not much
when,
at all.
When I compare
I think
that
that's a smoke screen. They probably took even more.
Yeah, when I compare that to the military budget and what they about to devote to, you know, starting World War III, so that's peanuts, $10 million. But still, though, for them to where they put it at and how they're going to use it or how they are using it. And that's to enslave human beings, man. There's political aspect to that thing called immigration. In the United States, I feel like the government has a responsibility to those refugees whose lands they have destabilized in the quote-unquote interests, U.S. interests,
yep.
Which really means corporate interests and what
corporate
have you. So,
right.
But I wanted to just, Dave, give out some real quick information. I forgot, my niece said that they were canceling flights already. So, like, she said she saw Greensboro had been canceled. And she said, so you can't even get flights out of some places. Now the airlines are closing them. And so if you was planning on flying, you know, you need to be checking up to make sure they don't cancel it and preparing to drive, you know. And if you're going to drive, I could already see I-85, 77, all of those major arterways through the Charlotte.
Excuse me, let me out. Mute key. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Through the Charlotte region, that traffic picking up, man. I was seeing stand still. You know, the lane to get off, you know what I'm saying? The exit ramps. Yeah, exit ramps, standing still, traffic backing up. So you might want to take some alternative routes. Like I took an alternative route from the airport not to get on that highway. So if you are driving and you haven't left yet, you should already have a map. I imagine maps selling out, so get you a map or save one to your phone if you have phone service that where you can pull up a map, but take alternate routes. Stay off the major highways.
And you know what, Scotty? As this storm gets closer, the options that you will have, and this is a very important way to learn of how things happen in the preparedness situation. Before the actual event is your best opportunity to prepare. Once the event is starting to be seen or noticed, that is going to take away some options that you have. It may be one or two, maybe a few options. But the closer and closer you get to it, then once it's acknowledged and once it happens, as it continues, you're going to lose more and more and more and more options. So flying is now no longer, in some places, a alternative or a opportunity. And this is what's going to happen with this storm, as it does in all situations when it comes to preparing. The closer you get to it, and when it starts, you're going to start to lose leverage. You're going to start to lose leverage. This is why I always say that the key to preparing is to prepare when no one else is looking, or when the event isn't recognized. No one can see it yet, but you should be able to discern its presence before you can even see it. And that gives you the all the advantages. And so, you know, some of the things before we go into to our commercial break, and we come out of the commercial break, I want to just give my overall thoughts as to how this thing can go. And if it does go that way, it's going to be the worst case scenario. The best case scenario is what we definitely hope for. But you never prepare for the best case scenario.
I mean, can't you do a margin call? Isn't that what the margin calls were? This margin call exercise, but real life drill, you know what I'm saying? Or live fire drill.
Yeah. And Scotty's talking about what we did. We did the 96-hour margin call, and we did a sit-sim about some things that can happen and things that you wanted to take a look at. And that, you know, here it is. This is, like Scotty just said, this is really a margin call. And Scotty, I wasn't even thinking about it that way, and you're absolutely right. This is a margin call. And so what I'll do is that I want to take a look at some things, and then I'll give a margin call on the worst-case scenario from this. So listen, we're getting ready to go to commercial break. Scotty, give me 1 minute extra in the commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. Area code 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. What I want to do real quickly is I just want to give some current projections by the National Hurricane Center, and then also the key is to get out of harm's way, but not only those that are directly in the path. Getting out of harm's way is not just meaning where the overall path of the storm is. It's really the overall, the full encompassing adversities that it will, the full reach of the storm. And the full reach of the storm is never charted by the National Hurricane Center. The full reach of the storm is encompassing all of the adversity, all of the problems, all of the risk, all of the damage that the storm is capable of doing that is not the direct path of it all. Everyone seems to pinpoint and look through just a small window or a small optic view of just the storm itself. But there's many problems that go along with the storm before it arrives, upon its arrival, during its arrival, and then the aftermath, and then the debriefing of the aftermath, everything that goes along with that. It's full encompassing. The real problem with a hurricane, it really starts after it's over. The real problems start after the hurricane, and it can last for years. And that's a strong, strong impact. So let me, what I want to do is let's just go over a couple of things, some updates for right now. So let me, Keith, if you would mute yourself into, oh no, that wasn't you. Sorry about that, Keith. We got a caller out of ATL. Welcome, caller out of ATL. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
It's Rob out of Atlanta.
What up, Rob? How you doing, bro?
Pretty good, man. I wanted to put notice to anybody traveling away from that storm, too. Well, I just got back to the city, but some people were getting price gouged, and a lot of people were getting robbed of all this stuff. There's certain locations, like at Pickleman, at rest areas, or, you know, just open type of public places where people are just might be resting or whatnot. I just want to put everybody on notice that, you know, you might want to have somebody watching your back while in these rest areas or whatever else, because a lot of people were not only about to lose their stuff back at home, but they're getting robbed over the road as well, and they're just really getting caught, left stranded, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, if you got your firearm with you, keep it on your side as you travel, and safe travels.
Man, safe travels. And yeah, this is going to definitely get worse once the storm hits in the aftermath, when people don't have the supplies or you know, right now it's going to be happening, and it will continue to happen, but the full brunt of this is going to be right after the storm, hours after the storm, and definitely after 7 hours into the storm or 5 hours into the storm. And how, when people start to survey how bad this is, and then they realize something, that there is no help that's coming, there is no help that's going to really assist them, they are going to go, they're going to turn feral, and they're going to real, it happens everywhere. And this one, hopefully it won't be as bad as what it could do. Hopefully it won't, but we need to prepare for it as if it is, because if it does, at least you have done something about it. And if it doesn't, then whatever you've done to prepare for it to be the worst, you're going to be able to use. The water that you have, you're still going to be able to drink it. The food that you acquired, you still are going to be able to eat it. The necessary, all of the essential things that you acquire, you still essentially are going to need those. But you had them for specifically just in case you needed them in a time period when you couldn't replace what you were using. It's a storing that's so important. And protection is one of the keys to the table of preparedness. So, yeah, Rob, I greatly appreciate it. And the price gouging is going to be real. It's going to be real. The tempers and everything else, and it's a nasty, nasty situation. But you can actually prepare for this and put yourself in a position where you'll have more options and more opportunity than those that don't, okay? Because that's what's so important about thinking for yourself. See, if you don't think for yourself, you just wait for the federal government and the authorities. They haven't called you. They've told you some things over the television and things of that nature. But that's not going to do you any good, because one, the yo-yo effect is going to come into play, meaning you're on your own. You're on your own. If you do get some type of assistance, you're lucky. And then you may find out that you may be unlucky, depending on how this situation goes. They may take you somewhere that you would wish that you had never gone. And what can happen there, I don't know. We've seen what happened in Harvey. We've seen what happened in Katrina. And we're going to see what's going to happen in Florence. Bet you it's going to follow the same as the other one, but probably be worse. Probably be worse. And one of the reasons why it's probably going to be worse is because of the infrastructure in that area is probably not really built to withstand this type of hurricane, because other places probably cold themselves a little more than some of the places that are going to find out that they are in a direct major hurricane field of destruction, kill zone. So, Rob, greatly appreciate it. So what I want to do real quick is I want to go over some of the dynamics as we speak right now for Wednesday, September the 12th, 2018. And I want to take a look at some of the metrics on the storm. So National Hurricanes has wind speeds possibility of areas that will be exceeding 90, wait a minute, 90 miles per hour. And that cone of that actually covers the whole state of Maine, the whole state of North Carolina. It's pretty darn. So that cone is there. Couple of other metrics is potential rainfall. Potential rainfall of over 20 inches is going to be within the impact zone, and then 15 inches, and that probably, and that's just the rainfall. So it has that area, and it's around the Myrtle Beach area for their projected direct hit. But then there will be, it will cover multiple states for the 1 to 2 inch, and the 6 inch actually goes into Maryland. And it goes in South Carolina and into Georgia and into Tennessee. Excuse me, not Georgia. Tennessee and Alabama. Okay, now, so that's just so that you know there. Next, the arrival times. This is critical. The arrival time is that it's going to hit North Carolina. And the arrival times for the winds, the storm force winds, it's going to start to hit North Carolina tomorrow at 7 a.m. The first out of band will start to hit. And then it will go through North Carolina by 8 p.m. Then it will reach Saturday. It will have its overall wind that will reach into Kentucky, Tennessee, West Virginia, Ohio, Alabama, South Carolina, and Florida. Florida will actually get some of the bands on Thursday as well, Thursday after in the p.m. Hour, or Friday morning. So the bands of the wind is significant. And the one more in the one more is the storm surge. Here's a critical one. The storm surge, as what's being projected. Whoa. Okay, so let me move this. The storm surge. And there's going to be storm surge warnings from Virginia Beach in Norfolk down to, let me move this down, down to Columbia in, well, no, it goes even further. Let me move this out. Down into down to Mount Pleasant in North Charleston, Mount Pleasant area in Charleston, South Carolina, all there is having a storm surge warning, and the watch, storm surge watch, excuse me, that's the watch. The warning is actually for, sorry, trying to navigate this. It's going to encompass Myrtle Beach all the way to, I think it's all going to be all the way up to Norfolk. To, yep. All the way up to the Potomac Sound. And the warning, the watch touches Virginia Beach, just touching Virginia Beach. So that's the storm surge. And then the storm surge, let me see the storm surge. I had it earlier where it gave me the actual storm surge, the inundation. Here we go. This is critical. Inundation. The inundation is going to, the strongest is going to be around, depending on where the actual where it hits, so it's kind of hard to say, but there are areas that will have greater than 9 feet above ground that will receive flooding. Potential storm surge flooding of over 9 feet. And that, wherever is going to be, it depends. It's hard to say right now, so you have to wait until it gets closer. I mean, but it basically says that anywhere that this storm goes, it could possibly put, present storm surge flooding of over, of greater than 9 feet. What's greater than 9 feet? 20 feet? 10 feet? So it could be anywhere between that. Anywhere between that. And that depends on that storm surge is no joke. So wanted to give you some of that update on what the National Hurricane Center is saying. Definitely need to, even if you're not directly affected by this, if you're in that area, you definitely, but what I want to talk about now is just some of the worst case scenarios with this whole thing. And but just before we do that, let me make sure that there isn't anything else that was, I'm gonna tell you, that was a shocker with the, that was out of the National Hurricane Center, the TAFB, the Tropical Analysis and Forecast Branch, when they said wave heights are being registered at 83 feet high. That was this morning on today's. And so we want to kind of continue to watch that because that's significant. That is producing a lot. And see, yesterday, it said just on September 11th, it says a pair of satellites passed this morning showing an expanded area of wave heights of 12 feet. So you can see, and waves were estimated to be 45 feet near the center. You can see how that's grown since yesterday to today. So very significant measures that are happening there. Let me just check one more thing, and then I want to get into, okay, so that's got that. All right, so here's some things that I'm really worried about and I'm concerned about. and how this is, could be a greater impact. And Scotty said, you know, like a margin call. Here's a, and I'm going to give some of the worst case scenarios that this storm could be. This storm could, if it doesn't lose its overall strength and it stays right where it was, but it diminishes, it stays in a category 5 area. And then what it does is it stalls out as it's turning in its northeast quadrant of the spin. So wherever the, it, as it spins, its rotation as it rotates to the west, the northeastern portion of it, that portion of it is going to be bombarded with heavy storm surge, and that storm surge starts to pound, and with the wind and the overall torrential rain that is going to be falling. I've heard things of up to 50 inches of water. Is this storm capable of doing that? It probably can. And if it does, that water has to go somewhere. And where it goes and accumulates is going to destroy, absolutely destroy the infrastructure, the ground, and then with the wind and then the uprooting of trees and the damage to roads, and then the flash floods that will happen, huge damage. I mean, just immense damage. And I'm actually looking at this thing to where it may hit what's in its diameter of destruction, but it could actually affect the whole country completely. Here's one of the things that could be really bad about this storm, is that it takes down the grid. Because throughout the Carolinas, throughout Virginia, throughout a lot of places, that the winds can actually damage and knock down trees. If you get enough trees starting to be knocked down and they knock out power lines, and then you get the overall heavy flooding, you can actually have to where the power grid is now going to be compromise. And one of the things, one of the worst things that can happen in this situation is that you may not be in a direct line of the overall hurricane. You may be fine, but boom, your lights go out. And then your lights go out for a while because of the overall strain that the grid was placed under because of the storm. And I'm going to tell you what the greatest threat is here. One of the greatest threats to this, to where this thing so now it's moved some, so now it's actually I'm looking, it's actually threatening Florida and Georgia now, as it's starting to move. But here's what's one of the real problems with this storm, is the nuclear facilities that are in its path, where you have another Fukushima-like event, but Fukushima was struck by from a tsunami, from an earthquake, and that's different because the ground swells and it pushes it up, and it happens right away. You don't even have time to prepare for it. It's already moving, and a tsunami can move at nearly the speed of a 747 jet. So in that short period of time, that tsunami is on you. Water is no joke. But here's what, as a couple of power plants, nuclear power plants that are in line that could be damaged by this. It's actually, one is the Brunswick nuclear plant. That one is in North Carolina, not too far from North Myrtle Beach. It's a nuclear facility, and it's probably less than not even a mile maybe not even a mile away from the ocean. And if this facility is hit, God forbid, that it loses its power and is hit with storm surge, is hit with one of those waves, and now you have a nuclear incident that goes into meltdown. Once that meltdown starts, then you're not going to be able to stop it. And I don't know what procedures have been followed as the threat of this is moving towards this nuclear power plant, but the worst case scenario is that this power plant is actually compromised. And when it gets compromised, the effects that goes on from there. This could be a situation where, because of this, one, first of all, you have a nuclear catastrophe that's on your hand that you will never, ever really be able to. Well, they probably could fix it, but they say that they don't know how to. And it's difficult to do. I think that there is technology, but they don't choose to do it. But the overall impact of the storm plus a nuclear incident, that would make that whole area uninhabitable for the actual outreach from the actual nuclear fallout from that over those facilities. And what that impact could be is that incident happening and that meltdown happening could actually take out a whole power grid and compromise to where power can't be restored in that area for a significant amount of time. And because of the overall burden of that it actually expends outwardly here. Now, what's going to happen to all those people that are in that situation? What happens when you don't have power for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month? You're having a humanitarian crisis. Huge humanitarian crisis. That one can't be mitigated with cash. They don't have enough cash to handle that problem. And the resources that would need and the amount of people and how many people this would affect and the overall cross-pollination into the country could be huge. I remember years ago where was the U.S. was one major, super major damaged hurricane away from basically, in common layman's terms, of being bankrupt. That power plant goes. With the overall, because of this storm, doesn't matter if you're in Washington, the state of Washington, or you're in New Hampshire, this could actually invoke and engage a problem, a real problem that you may have that will be slow moving but will be just as deadly as the individuals that face the immediate storm. The overall humanitarian problem from that, where everyone basically in that area would have to be completely evacuated. But here's how this evacuation happened. No. You can't take everything. Because depending on how much radioisotopes are released in the direction that they go in, the wind pushes them in, you won't be able to pack fast enough. And then whatever you don't get out, you can't go back for. It's not a return situation that you would be in there. Yeah, this, I would just hope that this storm doesn't impact because it's a Cat 5. in the Cat 5, in Category 5 surge, water surge. You're talking about water surge that's, that could actually, you know, be in levels of 30 feet, 25 feet. And that type of water is going to destroy everything. And I think that this would be a U.S. version of Fukushima. Now that would, not only would it poison that immediate area, but it's going to start to poison the whole world as it, because they won't be able to stop that radioactive isotopes from getting into the atmosphere. It's the perfect depopulation. So that's the worst case scenario, is that those nuclear reactors that are there, and it's not just one, it's a couple of them, but the one that's actually in direct line of this hurricane, as the hurricane's path is right now, is the Brunswick. Nuclear plant. So, man, that will impact you and I. That will impact everyone. So, these are some of the things that are there and what we need to be looking at. We're getting ready to go to our commercial break. When we come back out of the commercial break, Scotty, give me 1 minute extra in this commercial break. Roz, I'll go to you right after. I'm going to also just some of the things that I think can happen, and then how you should be preparing for this no matter where you are. Every single person here should, in the country, really should be preparing for this. Nothing happens, you don't lose anything. Something does happen, you have the potential to lose much. Much more than what you can afford to lose. You're listening to Tando Radio, show brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. We're going to get ready to go to my man, Roz. Roz, hold on 1 second. I definitely want to say this. This is, as the worst-case scenario, is significant because if this overall nuclear plant is compromised, here's a major, major problem with that. You may have not been in the evacuation zone, so you didn't leave. And now because the storm has come in and has caused so much damage, so much flash flooding, you may have not been, didn't leave because you were in the overall evacuation zone. But outside of the evacuation zone and those inside of the evacuation zones and the immediate evacuation zones and the preliminary evacuation zones are the outskirts of those evacuation zones. With now this overall nuclear incident that you have and this nuclear catastrophe that you now have because of this storm, now you can't leave because the storm has destroyed through flooding, through trees being down and everything else. Now you trapped. You can't get out faster than what the wind can blow the radioactive isotopes. And if you get just one particle of some of these radioactive isotopes in your lungs, just one particle, it's over. Your physical, over. Physical body, done. Done. And where are the winds going to be blowing? And here's the bad thing about these winds that are coming from a hurricane. This is much worse than Fukushima. Because the winds will be blowing, sustaining, because the overall winds from the storm is now going to move those radioactive isotopes, those particles across the country at a rapid speed. The winds will continue to gust at 30, 40, 50, 60 miles per hour, and it will be moving that. It won't be just the overall jet stream or the overall current winds of, it will be the storm surge, I mean the storm force winds. So it's going to push these it's going to be just like a instead of just a child blowing out a candle, what you're going to have is a jet blowing out a candle. Because the winds are going to cause those radioactive isotopes to get in the atmosphere further and then just spread them out quickly. Boom. There's no way in the world you can outrun the wind at those speeds. And then the swirling motion of them, as the radioactive isotopes spew out from this. So if you're not even in the exact evacuation zone, because that overall nuclear facility is there, everybody should have been gone. This could be horrific. These are some of the worst case scenarios. And if that nuclear facility is taken out and it goes into meltdown, hopefully the meltdown won't happen right away, because if it happens right away because of the severity of the storm. See, Fukushima was one wave. They had aftershocks and everything else. They had one wave. This one could be multiple ones. To where Fukushima had to endure just one wave hitting it. Imagine multiple waves at 8 stories high hitting this. The meltdown would be immediate, and it would be in the middle of the overall hurricane with winds of over 130 miles per hour. I would say, man, if I wanted to destabilize a country because I was going to invade it, if I had weaponized technology with the weather, I would use it. And think about the strategical importance of where this all is. You'll basically be able to nullify. How about this? How about Washington, D.C. now has to be completely evacuated? You can't evacuate Washington, D.C. because it doesn't have the infrastructure to deal with 4 o'clock traffic every day. And you got radioactive isotopes that are coming in, being propelled by a hurricane force winds. The perfect storm. Perfect storm. So what I want to do is I want to go to my man Roz, who's been waiting. Roz, sorry to keep you waiting, man. What say you, bro? Go ahead.
Hey, peace and love. How you doing?
My brother, Roz. What's happening? Good to hear your voice.
Same here, man. Peace to Scotty and to Brother Keith as well, Pastor Keith as well, and other callers and listeners. Yeah, what you're talking about is major. Go ahead.
Roz is, man, Roz, you're so considerate, man. I just want to say thank you for you being you. Go ahead, bro.
Hey, back at you, my brother. Yeah, I wanted to touch on some of the stuff because I just saw a news clip about what's going on, and it's major. And like you said, if one of those nuclear facilities goes up, the span of this hurricane is ginormous. And they're showing, like, maps and stuff that are just mind-blowing to me. And they said that it moved, this trajectory moved a little bit further south. So it's going to be more towards the southeastern North Carolina, possibly in that vicinity. But they're calling for up to 20 inches of water to be dumped on, like, a massive area. It looks like the whole, like, North Carolina, parts of South Carolina, Georgia. They even talking about Tennessee. I know as far north as Maryland has all declared a state of emergency. That's Virginia, Maryland, all of that. And I heard that last night, and they repeated it this morning. So it's going to be, like, serious, serious business. There's nothing to play around with. I've been quite worried about all my folks down that way. It's going to have an effect on us, but nothing like down there, from what I understand. And they're really, really saying, like, don't take it for granted. You know, if you have to make your way out, like, make your way out as quickly as possible, because you might be trapped where you are. And that's just the water, that's the rain that's going to be falling, is the 20 inches. That's not even talking about what the storm is going to carry with it, how it's going to shuffle all that water around, if it's going to even draw water from other areas. If you have rivers and creeks and stuff like that in the area, it'll possibly suck that water up too and end up dumping way more than 20 inches and then shuffling around massive amounts of water. So it's just not going to be a game. I pray everyone stay as safe as possible and just make as many moves as you can to get yourself in a secure place, because it's not going to be a game. I think they're calling for it to come touch base, touch land by Friday, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, it's just nuts. And I know some parts of North Carolina, they actually showed on the news, they said they completely ran out of gas, like, yesterday, within hours. Like massive amounts of gas stations ran out of gas. Some people, a good portion of people, were able to top off their tanks, but there's a lot of people who were not able to and won't be able to. So just do the best that you can. I think Dave, you're giving out great information. One thing I wanted to put out there is for those who have colloidal silver, that can help extend the shelf life of your food. If you do run out of electricity, you can, if you have a spray bottle, you can spray it on food that you cooked already. You can spray it on anything. You can actually, if you have silver coins, you can put it in your juice, your milk, anything that you need to drink, and it'll actually stop the breakdown of the juice, milk, or any food that you sprayed on. It actually prevents all of the different bacteria that starts the breakdown of the food, so that you end up throwing it away. It can help extend the shelf life of your food, so you definitely want to do that if you can, or have that around if you do. Again, like I said, all you can do is put a silver coin in your liquid stuff, and that'll keep it from, you know, going bad on you as well for an extended period of time. hopefully you have a lot of canned goods, a lot of dry food like beans and stuff, maybe even means to start a fire in case you have to, you know, leave and you might be in an area where, you know, you might need to start a fire to stay warm. Then I hope you have those things. I just wanted to just say, please keep safe. And thanks for this program, Dave. Peace to you, Brother Scotty, as well. And I'll mute myself. And please stay safe to you, Scotty, too. One love.
So true, Raj. And it's, you know, it's the aftermath of this storm is really going to be the problem, because the worst case scenario, I hope it doesn't happen. I do not want that to happen, because this is going to, you know, what this really means is life altering, because you can't just put back the dynamics of this. In Fukushima, there's parts of Japan that they will never be able to use for a very, very, very long time, if at all, you know. And the Chernobyl area happened over 20 some years ago. Still can't go back there. Still can't go back there. But the wildlife and everything else has actually turned the radioactive isotopes into protein. But that takes a generation or two for the life cycle to adjust to it. This could be so darn changing. You know, we talk about preparing. It was actually when Fukushima happened in 2013, in February of 2013. Everyone in this world was adversely affected by that health-wise. Everyone's immune system was completely compromised because of radioactive isotopes that's been going around the planet. Now, with another barrage of radioactive isotopes, that they have, strontium has 99 years half-life, meaning it loses half of its strength after 99 years. Then half of that is lost, another half, 99 years. And that half is not where it's no longer gone after 200 years. No, it's still there and it's still killing. But it breaks half into half to half to half to half to half until it takes generations, multiple generations, for that to be free. And that's going to change the way your body and our bodies exist in a polluted state. See, in nuclear war, a lot of the radioactive isotopes are destroyed in the overall initial explosion. The fallout makes everyone sick. The radioactive fallout makes everyone sick for a very long time. This radioactive fallout for Fukushima is just starting to be registered. The overall food supply of mankind has been drastically diminished because of Fukushima. And now you have another one. And this one is going to be really bad because there's something, because of the Gulf Stream. This one takes the overall the trade winds of the world, cycles through there, and it dips down through that area. But the immediate impact of the humanitarian calamity of that nuclear power plant being bombarded in a... See, Fukushima was one earthquake that was quite damaging, one tsunami, one wave. This is going to be that overall nuclear facility will be bombarded for hours upon hours. So the severity of it, it'll make Fukushima look like they had three wires that went bad, three circuit breakers blew. And the meltdown from that And it could blow. It definitely can blow. So here's where we are, and this is why, even if you're in that whole area, you need to have a plan of action for that. The complete plan of action for that. Because as that happens, the resources are now going to be compromised. How are you going to move all these people that are in that densely populated area because of the overall winds of the nuclear fallout from the winds is being spread everywhere? How are you going to move all those people? So this storm is more than just a threat to Myrtle Beach in the path that it's on. This is why when the system weaponized the weather, boy, they gained such great advantage. So this needs to be something that you need to think about for the individuals that are in that immediate area of there. I know when I lived in Southern California, well, here, even here in where I live now, there's a one of the first things that I wanted to know was where were the nuclear facilities. There's one that I lived to that wasn't too far, and when I was in Southern California, and there's one where I live now. I know where the direction is. If there was a hurricane here where I am and I know that it was going in that direction, no one was there, I would be gone. Take what you can get. And if it hits, you can't return home, even if your home didn't even get any flood, wind, or hurricane damage. Can't go back there now. It's the exclusionary zone. And it's not an exclusionary zone because man said so. It's the radioactive isotopes that you can't smell, can't see, can't feel is there. One particle of this stuff. So that's really what the worst case scenario really is. The worst case scenario is if Brunswick's nuclear facility or nuclear plant is compromised. It'd be far worse than Fukushima. Far, far worse. Because they won't be able to do anything to it because of the continuous bombardment of the hurricane. So, all right, everyone, just want to thank you all for listening. Thanks to my man, Rob, for calling in. Thanks for Roz calling in. Pastor Keith calling in, Scotty for chiming in as well. Greatly appreciate you all. Prepare, prepare, prepare. It's necessary, it's necessary, it's necessary. It's a choice of yours. And if you are in that area of the impact zone and it does, in the path of it change, you're in the path of that. If you still have a chance to change your mind, think that would be the wisest thing for you to do. And if not, so be it. It's a choice that you have. And the rest of everyone else, hopefully that you all make decisions that are better than what you can't see, because what you can't see is generally more real than what you can see. Thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. Much love, much respect. As never, goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.